It's Tuesday, 16th of August. It's time to get your grin on with a Grincast, your fortnightly podcast about gaming. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Gozogoz.
Konnichiwa.
Pej.
Hey.
And Prince.
Hello.
Okay, I won't bury the lead. You may have noticed the opening was different, so we are changing the format of the show, and this is news to Gozogoz, Pej, and Prince too, by the way, because while I love hosting the podcast at Game Grin, it's no small amount of work. So from this episode, for the foreseeable future, will be bi-weekly, and we're not going to focus so much on weekly news unless something big happens or, you know, someone wants to talk about it. Like, for instance, they just announced that Guild Wars 2 is coming to Steam and the date that it is going to do that. So if someone wants to bring that up to talk about in a bit, you're free to do that.
What's Guild Wars?
Oh, it's 10 years old. Come on. I mean, Guild Wars is almost 20 years old.
When did the second one come out?
10 years ago.
Oh, fuck. It's 10 years old.
Okay. Well, I'll throw the conversation open to everyone. What does someone want to talk about? Let's take us away in our new podcasting format.
I hear Guild Wars 2 is coming to Steam.
That's true. On the 23rd of August, it's coming to Steam. You're going to be able to buy a complete pack, which you cannot do if you do not own it via Guild Wars' website, which is weird.
Is it not free to play? Like,
it's not. No. You buy it once and then you don't. There's no subscription fee, like Elder Scrolls Online.
Dang. Okay. Fair.
Wait. You used to be able to play Guild Wars 2 without having to buy it.
Oh, actually, yes. I believe there's like a free option, but you don't have access to everything, like Final Fantasy 14 with their free trial up to level 60.
Yeah, I played it once, like a long time ago, and I'm pretty sure it was just a little free area that I could roam around in.
Well, unlike most MMOs, it's more about exploring the world and finding things and doing little quests in different areas rather than concentrate on like any one big thing.
I think they made the base game free and need to buy expansions.
That's what maybe true. Which again is kind of like Elder Scrolls Online, which only fairly recently made it so that you can play Morrowind for free. But anyway, if no one wants to talk about anything except for Guild Wars, I've been playing a couple of recent releases on mobile because I was testing this Red Magic phone that Nubia sent to us to review. So I installed a game called Noah's Heart, a fairly new release. It's similar to Genshin Impact with a big open world and the stuff to do in that world. I don't know, like Breath of the Wild, you can climb on things, but you also have a grappling hook gun, so it's immediately better than Genshin Impact. However, I just can't really get on with the mobile controls. It's just my hands aren't built for that. I think I'm getting too old. And Tower of Fantasy is another Genshin Impact kind of game that came out even more recently than Noah's Heart. That's on mobile and PC. It's coming to Steam, but it's not out on Steam yet. And I can't decide which of the two I like more. I mean, I like that Tower of Fantasy is on PC, so I can play it with keyboard and mouse. I could put a USB keyboard or Bluetooth keyboard and mouse, hook it up to the phone to play Noah's Heart, I suppose. But they both have kind of jetpacks. Noah's Heart has more vehicles, like you can get in cars and stuff, but Tower of Fantasy has a jetpack that you can use whenever you want instead of just now and then, like in Noah's Heart. Anyway, this has been a ramble about some mobile games.
No, that's a whole mood, though. Mobile games, they can catch attention, though. I'm still thinking about what you said earlier, admittedly, about plugging a keyboard and a mouse into your phone. Oh.
I mean, my Rocat mouse, straight out of the box, you can either use it with the dongle that it comes with, plug it into a computer, or click the switch the other way, and it turns into a Bluetooth mouse, so you can just hook it up to your phone.
You weren't joking then, because, like, immediately, no offense, that sounds horrible to me, using a keyboard and mouse on a phone. So I thought you were joking, but that exists.
Yeah, going the other way, the Red Magic phones, they have a piece of software where you can stream the phone to your desktop. You can
either
plug it in via USB or do it via Wi-Fi. And I could try playing Noah's Heart that way, now I think about it.
I know a lot of people do stuff like that for mobile versions of stuff like PUBG and Call of Duty, and they have a lot of trouble with that, because obviously if you've got a mouse and keyboard input on a game where people are just using a touch screen, then you're going to have a ridiculous advantage.
Yeah, that's true.
So the key is to buy a keyboard and mouse and then start cheating on the online mobile, like, leaderboards.
It'd be a big fish in a small pond.
Koi pond.
Yeah.
I played a game similar to that sort of stuff on PC called Craftopia a while back. It was on Game Pass. And it's basically like Breath of the Wild if it was multiplayer and had survival crafting aspects. But I'm pretty sure I actually spoke about this on the podcast when I first joined, I think. I'm pretty sure, because I remember just talking about how bad it was and how all of the assets just basically look like they've been plucked out of the Unity store. Like, they found, like, motorbike asset, bang that in there. Tower asset, bang that in there. So it's like a cel-shaded game, but then it has, like, hyper-realistic motorbikes and stuff like that in it, and it just doesn't match at all.
The description on Steam: we combined many features we find enjoyable, such as hunting, farming, hack and slash, building, automation, to develop this game.
Like, yeah, it's got
put everything in here.
Yeah, like, it's got such overwhelmingly positive reviews on the, like, for the game, but if you look at a lot of the reviews, a lot of them are even meme reviews, which are just, like, you know, like, oh, did so-and-so and so-and-so, died instantly, 10 out of 10 game, whatever. Like, you know, it's just, people just, yeah. Killing an NPC will make them drop a next smiley face.
There is a tank in one of the screenshots, like a World War II tank.
Yeah, yeah, like I said, they literally have got such a weird mix of assets in it.
Hoverboard skeleton warriors, oh my god, yeah, they're just... buy all on the store.
It's like every time they get, like, they hit a milestone for sales, they're like, oh, we can buy this new asset pack that's just dropped on the Unity store, or whatever engine they use. It's probably Unity, really, but yeah.
There's a GIF in the about this game of someone who looks like Link in Breath of the Wild near a motorbike as a biplane flies over.
And not play that. How could anyone not buy that?
Well, you can try it for free on Game Pass if you have it, and then you can find out exactly why you shouldn't buy it.
I think I will, actually. On Game Pass, not buy it.
No, sometimes, like, a bad game, well, maybe it's not bad, I don't know yet, but sometimes a game like that is better than, like, a boring game.
Yeah, it's kind of like watching The Room, right? Like, it's bad and good. It's so bad it's good, in a way.
Literally, though. It's literally one of my favorite movies, actually. So it's exactly like that. I take that philosophy in life. I'm like, it's better than something that would bore me. It's so bad it's good.
Like, when I say it's a bad game, like, it's playable. Like, it's definitely playable, and you could actually have fun with it as well. But it's got all the trappings of a bad game, you know, like just like a cheap asset flip sort of game.
Yeah.
I mean, like, having assets and stuff more available, like, you can just put them in your game and just focus on everything else is kind of, I feel like it's a good thing, but yeah, I guess the assets should match or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've got no issues with pre-made assets or anything like that. It's just make it look like it's part of the game world and not just someone modded it into the game.
I actually wanted to buy the game at some point and try it, because from what I saw, it looked okay, but I didn't realize that they were just mixing and matching everything. I mean, they say that they pick the stuff that they liked and they put them in the, put it in the game, but I assumed it was all they made the assets themselves. Like it has a specific art style.
They just put a saturating filter on everything.
That would help you make things a bit more uniform if you just put a cell shaded filter on everything.
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely like if you set up your lighting to be to make everything up your cell shaded, you can definitely make some stuff look really ugly, like if it's not made for that, because basically you, if you want to have a cel-shaded art style, you won't have out of gradients, you have block colors, maybe you'll have some like scratches on it.
I was gonna say it's interesting you say that, because that's kind of a thing that happened with A Hat in Time modding, like the Steam Workshop for that. Well, there's a lot of really good stuff on the Steam Workshop for A Hat in Time, but there are also a lot of stuff where people have just added their own assets, which they've just banged like a cel-shaded filter on, or they try to make it look cel-shaded, and it just looks kind of awkward and out of place still.
Yeah, you need to like actually look at the textures and remake them if you're, you're taking a model from God of War 2018 and trying to put it in something that looks like Genshin Impact or something, because that's gonna look really awkward.
Okay, Prince, have you been doing anything this week that or noticed anything online that you want to talk about? Looking forward to anything that's releasing?
Both, like, not a lot and nothing. I mean, and oh my god, wow, I fucked that up off the bat. Yes and no. The answer was yes and no. Oh my god. Sorry. Yeah, actually, I've been playing a lot of Shin Megami Tensei Devil Summoner Soul Hackers, so I am looking forward to Soul Hackers 2. Sega. I'm trying to think, honestly. I'm like, what have I seen that was interesting in the news this week? I didn't do much. I did play the one, like, Kirby spinoff game, DDD's Drum Dash. I love that. But other than that, I just didn't have that much of an exciting gaming week. Like, I didn't play anything new. And I didn't, I'm like, I swear I saw news, but I don't remember what the news was.
It was the news that Steam has added the add to library button on the store now.
Yeah, so I saw that. I had to sit there and like be like, was this always here or is this like a thing? Because I wasn't sure.
Yeah, no, it's new. You used to have to like click play game and then it would launch the installation screen and you had to cancel the installation. Yeah, you had to double check to make sure it actually did add it to your library, or if you actually have to install it. But now you can just bang it into your library straight away.
I'm confused. That's nice.
I mean, it sucks that you got to do like a bunch of stuff still, but that's nice.
Hey, you're confused, Gorse.
Just hate everything Steam.
You hate everything Steam?
Mood.
No, I just by everything Steam, I'm confused.
Sorry. Yeah, it's Steam, you know? It's Steam.
What about it confuses you?
Adding stuff to library.
So this whole new thing, this new change confuses you, not the entire Steam as a concept, as an online storefront.
Oh no, I kind of get it. You play games, right?
It depends, because they got some software on that.
They used to have movies as well.
I think they do.
Wait,
depending
really?
On your region.
Yeah, well, I mean, they still have the movies that they release, but like they were trying to do the whole thing where you could purchase like digital content from their like movies and stuff, but I think they're not releasing any more new stuff. But the ones that were already released are still on there, I'm pretty sure.
What's already on there? I've never seen a movie on Steam. I'm like, whoa.
I think they have Kung Fury.
They have some anime. Yeah, I just looked up, and in 2020 they added Hyperdimension Neptunia, the animation.
Oh.
Ooh. How much is it?
For the whole season, it's £30.75.
Oh.
I don't know enough about British money to say if that's a good deal or not.
That does come with two of the games.
That's cool.
It's like $20.
It's not as sexy as other stuff, though, is it? Like, you can't be... You don't want to be like, oh, do you want to come to my place for Steam Library and chill? Like, it isn't the same way.
Steam Library and stream.
Yeah.
What would you ever say that to anyone? That's so disgusting.
Well,
that's what I'm into.
Don't knock it till you try it, Goz.
And Goz, have you got anything specific you want to talk about?
Last week I actually started playing a new game, which is rare for me because stuff. But yeah, I started playing Ghostwire Tokyo finally, which was one of my most anticipated games of this year. So I finally got to it. Yes, I like it a lot. It's very similar to an MMORPG I used to play, The Secret World. Now it's Secret World Legends. It's quite similar to that. Has some combat, some investigation type things.
Lots of supernatural / conspiracy stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Secret World is all about.
I mean, it's basically like if all the conspiracy theories, myths, legends were real. It's set in the real world.
But you guys all remember the episode of the Greencast where me and Goz discussed the Secret World before, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
What did we say about it?
Basically what you're just describing now.
I was asking Pesh.
Oh.
What do I remember?
I thought
about
you were asking, and I was like, Gors, you were in the episode. I was like, oh no.
I was trying to confirm that you actually...
I remember you guys, you spoke about the Secret World, and both of you said things about it, and you spoke about it.
Oh, he's got you there, Gors.
I remember very vividly.
Yeah, so, I think, Ace, you played Secret World, right?
I did.
Yeah, so I think you would be into Ghostwire if you didn't play it yet.
I haven't played it yet. It kind of gave off a horror vibe, and I'm no good with horror games, so I steered clear.
It does have the word ghost in it.
Too spooky.
Sorry. I mean, it's the game is by Tango Gameworks, who did Evil Within, the Resident Evil spiritual successor, basically.
Yeah, oh, so it actually is a scary game, maybe.
It's not that scary, actually. It's, again, the tone is similar to The Secret World, which is, it's a bit scary, but it's not actively trying to disturb you and stuff. There's Japanese
unsettling stuff.
If you find Japanese monsters and stuff like that unsettling, which some of them are, then yeah. But
okay. So if you played Digimon Cyber Sleuth, either the first one or the second, the prequel game, there your character encounters this occult club from a local high school. And you have to do some missions for them. And one of the missions, you have to look into this girl, ghost girl that appears on the busy crosswalk at Shibuya. And at the final cutscene that plays, it kind of freaked me out a little bit because it was kind of spooky.
Oh, what was it?
It's just like, it confirms that, ooh, this ghost does exist, and it starts laughing, and the camera kind of zooms in slightly, and it was just five spooky for me.
Five spooky for you. Oh. Well, what the fuck is Digimon about? What? Wait, there's ghosts and shit? Wait.
Digimon Cyber Sleuth takes place entirely in the real world, and the digital world is kind of bleeding in.
Okay. That's the general gist of it. I guess that makes sense. It's like a reverse serial experiments lane.
Wait, speaking of Digimon, isn't the new game Digimon Survive or something? I think I saw a trailer for that, and wasn't scary some disturbing shit in that? Like, it's actually like a horror visual novel, but in the universe of Digimon or something?
Yeah, it's because they didn't give too many details over the years since they announced it, people had built it up to be something that it definitely did not turn out to be. It's a visual novel that has some fighting in it, kind of like Angel's Feather, the anime that we talked about on the Pals Anime Lounge that's going up this week. What did it go? No, it went up last week. I'm no longer looking for news and talking about news in this podcast. I get confused.
It's a strict no news podcast.
except for Guild Wars 2 coming to Steam. You know, people thought that Digimon Survive was going to be a survival game set in the Digimon world, and the character has to go around and build a shelter, and it's because Bandai Namco didn't tell us anything about it, so we didn't know what it was going to be about. So this this visual novel was released, and people were like, "Oh, it's a visual novel. I hate it." But they didn't tell you it wasn't going to be a visual novel.
Yeah, I just mean that I saw a trailer for it, and I think there was some disturbing stuff in that too, like ghosts and stuff, visions.
Oh, I didn't see that one. I only saw the character, the character trailer. I didn't see any gameplay or cutscenes or anything.
It was like, why do you even have Digimon in it? Kind of thing for me. It's, I guess they meant Digimon Survive Val Horror. That's what they wanted to say, really. But, oh, it's like the thing with George Lucas and Return of the Jedi. It was originally supposed to be Revenge of the Jedi, but George learned that he can save money if there is one less letter, so he changed it to Return. It's
is
a real
that
story.
Really? Why? Oh my god.
Wow. So that's what happened with Digimon Survive. They just couldn't afford all the letters on the boxes of games.
I've also saved money by not making those awful 1997 Redux versions of the original trilogy. God. Sorry, was that too deep a cut?
I don't know enough about Digimon. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, I was talking about Star Wars.
I was talking about Digimon.
I was sitting here like, there are awful 1990s Redux versions just of like Digimon. I'm like, what am I following? Fuck.
Sorry.
I think the first three Digimon worlds did come out in the 90s, to be quite honest.
Oh my god, so there really are.
Did George Lucas make Digimon?
Yeah, that was the other thing.
Yeah, I thought when I was watching Digimon last time, I thought it was weird when the CGI Jar Jar Binks appeared, like out of nowhere. He didn't seem to fit in the scene because the rest was like hand-drawn stuff, animation, hand-drawn animation. But then you have CGI rabbit.
Yeah, it's just a really weird addition, right? Like, those were the first versions of those films I watched when I was a kid. And I was like, wow, special effects were so good back in, like, the 70s and 80s. I was like, I didn't realize that that's that they were the redone versions. I was like, wow, they got Jabba the Hutt CGI back then. I mean, I didn't know what CGI was because I was, like, 7 years old, but yeah, I was stupid.
You were like, is Jabba the Hutt real? Is he a Digimon?
Technically, yes.
I mean, yeah, he's CGI, so he's digital. I see that.
I take it back. All of the Digimon World, all of the Digimon World games have been released since the year 2000 in the West. So, I was wrong about them being in the 90s.
This is so sad.
I thought you were gonna say that they were made by George Lucas.
The real plot twist.
No. I'd watch Digimon if it was made by George Michael.
Fucking Digimon Wham.
Digi-Wham.
Tune in every Saturday.
They're still making Digimon anime, so you could watch Digimon now.
They still make Digimon?
Yeah.
Really? That's wild to me. Last time I saw it was, because I was a Pokemon kid, so I didn't really, I was mainly a Yu-Gi-Oh kid, let's get that right, actually, like, oh my god, I was too cool for any of that shit, but I only watched a few episodes when I was a kid, because I'd rather watch, like, the Pharaoh kick Kaiba's ass every week.
Well, fun fact, the cartoon, the anime from 1999, Digimon, they actually remade it in 2020.
Oh my god, did they keep the theme song? Wait, I just realized the theme song's probably only American when I thought about it. Digimon, Digital Monsters,
Digimon are the champions!
Yeah!
See, George Michael could write a much better song than that.
Yeah.
Oh, this has been a crazy episode.
It's been very all over the place.
George Michael's Digimon. No, yeah.
I didn't even get to talk about how I finished Judgment.
Oh my gosh, you finished
Just
Judgment.
Talk about it.
Do it!
It took me 53 and a half hours. And,
that's a lot.
And I already had a rant about how much I hate the baseball in Judgment. and I wrote an article about it. Game Over Judgment on GameGrind.com. Look at that.
Wow, you hated it. Well, not hated. I mean, you hated that, like, enough to write an article.
I mean, it didn't focus solely on the baseball, but I did mention it a couple times.
So you accuse us enough, right?
It is, yes.
That stuff matters, though. Like, if you have something like a sport in a game and it just doesn't play well, it affects how I feel.
If you have sport in a game that's not a sport game, I hate it.
I don't agree with that. Like, I really like fishing, for example.
Oh,
that's a sport.
My god, that's the worst
No, that's the best one. That is like sometimes it is the only thing that keeps me playing a game. I swear to god.
There is fishing in every single Yakuza game, and I hated it every single time it forced you to do it. Even the spear fishing in Yakuza 6.
Did you play the fishing minigame in Ocarina of Time? Because that was painful.
I don't think I've ever played enough of that game to reach that part.
Yeah. It's not good.
But yeah, one of the first open world games that I owned on the Dreamcast, Sonic Adventure, has a forced fishing game.
With Big the Cat, right?
Oh, I hated that.
That may have colored my perception of fishing games going forward, but I have not liked a single one of them.
God.
What was it? You said Froggy. What was it? Froggy.
Yeah. It was Froggy.
I kind of understand that, because that part pisses me off. But I still like fishing in games. I think it's sometimes really... I don't know. Like, sometimes it's the only thing that keeps me going. Like I said, like, I played Rune Factory 5. And I got mixed feelings on it. But every single day, I went fishing for, like, 5 hours. Every single in-game day. Woo.
You play Sega Bass Fishing.
I've never played an actual fishing game. That sounds horrible.
Is that the one that came with the fishing rod accessory?
Hell yeah.
Have you ever used it?
No. I wish.
To kill people?
What? Twist.
I mean, I've done that, but you know. I'm okay, just to clarify, because this is public, I have not killed anyone with a Sega fishing controller.
I love the need to clarify just in case.
I mean, did you ever own the original Xbox One Xbox controller? Not just the original Xbox, but the original controller they made for the Xbox controller for the Xbox. Like, they made two controllers for the original Xbox. They had the big one, and then they had the streamlined one. You could kill someone with one of those, I'm sure.
Streamlined one.
No, not the streamlined. It was like a huge one. It was like worse than the Dreamcast controller. It was so big. It was like those. You seen that circle controller, the Nintendo 64 circle controller?
Uh huh.
Yeah. Okay. It was like a Sega Saturn controller. You know the Sega Saturn circular controller?
Yeah.
I'm just. This is dead air. You can cut all this out.
You could just keep naming controllers.
I'm just floundering. Eventually. I'm floundering. There we go. Fishing.
Well, everyone owned a Sega Saturn. Come on.
Yeah.
No, I have tweeted multiple times asking if anyone at all within my sphere of Twitter influence owned a Saturn at the time. Not since. Not like, oh, I'm an adult. I want to own a Saturn. No. Did you have a Saturn when it came out? Nobody has ever replied that they have.
One of my closest friends had one, and I used to love playing on it.
You are lying.
No,
I don't believe you.
I promise.
Nobody owned Saturn.
It was the first time I experienced Resident Evil, and it scared the shit out of me because I was a kid, and it was just the opening cutscene. Like, looking back on it now, the opening cutscene is terrible. Don't go.
But no, I get what you're talking about, though, because it's like, it seems, as a kid especially, like, the live action and all that shit going on, running, like, from the forest to the mansion. Like, it seems really spooky as a kid.
It wasn't just that, though. You know, like, when they actually go into the house and then the zombie who's, like, eating...
Oh, yeah, when he drops the decapitated head.
Yeah, that, like, and his head, like, slowly lifts up and it starts to turn slowly towards the camera. I sprinted out of the room because I didn't want to see a zombie's face. But I look at it now and it looks like a bloody Play-Doh head.
Oh, I love that. Honestly, I think part of it, though, is it does look better on the old TVs than you know, modern stuff. No, I'm not kidding. Like, it seriously does.
You know, I agree. Like, it needs that CRT fuzz to kind of blur it out a little bit.
Legit. Like, it actually blew my mind when I figured out that was, like, because I remembered so many games looking better than they look. And then I realized it's just because my TV is actually good.
Yeah, a lot of pixel art suffers for that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, can't remember exactly the game it is, but I remember someone on Twitter did a comparison of this is a screenshot of this game on a CRT, and this is on a like a modern TV, and with the distortion of the CRT, the sprite looks like it's got like a pupil in the eye.
But... Yeah. Oh, I think isn't that it's Castlevania's screenshots, right?
That might be. That might be. Yeah.
I know exactly the Twitter thread you're talking about because that's what got me I should look into this.
But on modern screens, like you can, there's all of the detail is like in your mind. The CRT like kind of fills in blanks that exist.
Yeah, actually, Resident Evil 2 is a really good example of exactly that. Like, there's whole comparison videos on the internet because the way the faces are detailed and stuff with that fuzz, they look, everybody looks so much more realistic looking legitimately. And then you take away that and they're terrible looking, just blocks, polygons.
I guess they were making them while having, like, being submerged underwater and opening their eyes and then making graphics. So then if you reverse that, it looks good. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Is there that thing where you unfocus your eyes? Like, you know when you see those magic pictures which makes you see the picture differently if you unfocus your eyes? They just did
it's
that.
It's a schooner.
Schooner?
What? I don't know what the... I know what you're talking about, the eyes thing, but what the fuck's a schooner?
It's a boat. It's a reference to mall rats.
I'm sorry.
I'm old. Leave me alone.
Do you want a bottle of water?
That's, to be fair, I mean, I've seen some Kevin Smith films. I just haven't seen Mallrats. I've seen Clerks.
Mallrats is the best one. Which is kind of sad because he's been making films for a long time.
Yeah.
I heard he made Mallrats 2, right? And that was bad.
Did he make Mallrats 2? I know he was wanting to.
Yeah, I think after Clerks 3, he's going to make Mallrats 2 or something.
He was starting to make Mallrats 2 when I listened to his podcast like 7-8 years ago.
Oh, Kevin Smith. A complicated man.
But no one understands him but his woman?
Sure.
He's a complicated man. Shaft?
Now we're going into music. So, well... I think we've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Guzguz, Pej, and Prince.
Thank you. Hi.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Greencast, and better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrim.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Pals Anime Lounge podcast. And until next time, game on.